You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
All right. Like she said, my name's Taylor. If I haven't met you yet, that is on me. You've been here for 4 years. I did want to give you guys an update before I start on AI Bobby. I don't know if you guys remember the image that Jerry, or that ChatGPT or whoever created for us. He's very cute, but he does not look like AI Bobby. And when I showed him this picture, this is the face he made, which is the next photo. He was upset that he didn't have that much hair. So, thank you guys so much. Jerry asked me to share my testimony with y'all this morning. I don't know how you sum up 34 years of life and 29 years of following Jesus, and I'm already going to cry. Lordy. I thought it was best to share what Jesus has been teaching me the last year, as Wes and I have become parents. So I'm going to pray for myself, and then we'll start. Jesus, thank you so much for the Ignited class. I thank you just for the impact that they've had on our lives the last 3.5, 4-ish years. I thank you so much just for the blessing that they have been and the joy that it's been to watch them grow and to know you and to follow you. I pray that you would continue to be with them as they transition out of Asbury. I pray that you would be with me today, Jesus, that the words that I say would only be what you have for me to say, and that we would have listening ears and tender hearts to hear what you have for us. We thank you so much just for the ways that you love us and the ways that you hold us and you sustain us. Amen. Okay, I surrendered my life to Jesus at a young age, but I've had to continue to surrender different aspects of my life. I'm sure you're the same way. I don't know if you remember last semester, Jeannie spoke about Abraham and Sarah. Abraham had been promised, and Sarah had been promised by God that he would give them a son. We know the story. Abraham got frustrated with the timeline and tried to do it on his own. Have you ever felt that way? I have felt that way. We know that God is good, but do we trust his timing? I resonate with Abraham. I know that God has a plan for my life, but I get impatient and try to do things myself. We know from the story that doing things on our own strength rarely works out well. Today, I want to talk about what Jesus has been teaching me, which is to surrender. I am a planner by nature. If you've spent any time around me, you know I love to plan. I love strategy. I love to organize. I love to be in control. Deep down, I think that if I can avoid hard things if I can control things. And if I prepare and plan well enough, life will be easy. And if I work hard enough, I can make sure that it will be. But what do you do when you find yourself in a brand new season of life where you cannot control, organize, or work your way out of the hard parts? Wes and I have been married for a little over 10 years now. Ooh, Lordy. This isn't even a sad part. This is a good part. When we got married, we agreed that we wanted to wait a little while before we started a family. A couple of years ago, we decided we were ready, and it quickly became clear that having a baby would come with a few challenges. No problem, right? I can do this. I can hard work my way out of this. It will happen. I will ask Jesus for a baby, and he will give me what I want. Whew, that was dumb. The problem was that I didn't want to submit to Jesus' timeline. I remember when I said I was impatient. It took a while for me to realize that I needed to trust Jesus in his timing. What was I so afraid of? I think that deep down, I was afraid that what I really wanted in my heart did not line up with what Jesus had for me, and I couldn't bring myself to face any potential disappointment. Maybe you found yourself in this position as well. A couple years ago, Tammy Ma came to speak in chapel about prayer. If you remember her, she is an amazing prayer warrior. One of the things that she talks about is praying without offense. She says, our faith doesn't die when our prayers aren't answered. Our faith is in his character, his personality, and his affection, not the event or the outcome. I had to learn to trust Jesus for his character and not just the results. I had to learn to pray for Jesus to align my heart with his and to trust his goodness and faithfulness, even if it didn't look like I thought it would. Many people in this room prayed for us. We did eventually get pregnant. We thank Jesus every day for Bobby. He is a miracle. When I look at him, I cannot deny Jesus's faithfulness to me personally. So Jesus continued to draw me closer to him as I navigated pregnancy. I couldn't believe that we were going to be parents. Once again, I felt the need to control and to hold things tightly. I didn't want disappointment to creep in. I followed all the rules, and I thought that if I did that, everything would be fine and I could avoid any hard things. As an anxious person, pregnancy can really throw you for a loop. There are a lot of things that can go wrong. And I was fine as long as things were going exactly how I expected them to go. I was diagnosed with gestational diabetes, which is a totally normal thing that lots of people develop and is not that earth-shattering, but it shattered me. If you saw me in that time period, I had either probably been crying, was currently crying, or was about to cry. This is not what I had planned for. I didn't want to do the hard part. I didn't want to have to check my blood sugar 4 times a day. I didn't want to have to give myself shots. So I put my head down and I tried to control the situation. I bet you can guess how it turned out. I could beat this. I didn't need help. I worked hard enough, and if I was perfect, it would be okay. It would fix itself. Well, it wasn't, and I reluctantly had to surrender control again. I spent so many days feeling defeated. Why couldn't my hard work make my body do what I wanted it to do? Jesus sweetly reminded me that I was not a failure, that defeat was not what he had for me. I wanted to provide the best outcome for Bobby and myself, and that meant leading into some medical intervention. Jesus' gentle reminder to trust his character came over me once again, and I had to trust that this was part of his plan. My mother-in-law's favorite phrase is that no matter what happens, none of this takes Jesus by surprise. What a great comfort that we don't have to stand shoulder to shoulder with Jesus fighting this out. We can trust that he already has it figured out. I'm so grateful that Jesus protected our baby. He protected me, and he truly has left so many doctors scratching their heads. He is a miracle. The last couple of weeks have been spent taking care of Bobby. I've been in the nursery, rocking him, feeding him, and I've come to love the calmness of the room and singing to him. I do not sing well, so he definitely has suffered that way. But Jesus has met me in such sweet ways in this space when I really needed him. Being a parent is no walk in the park. You can ask your parents later. Keeping a tiny human alive comes with its own set of challenges. Once again, I was met with the need to control. Other people talked about how hard parenthood was, but I was determined to be different. I was built different, I said. I remember saying to Wes before Bobby arrived that I saw parenthood as something to conquer and I couldn't wait to achieve. I'm so thankful for Wes and his kindness because he looked at me, smiled, shook his head, and said, "I think that trying to conquer this would probably not work out well for you." I should have listened. The lack of sleep will cause anybody to come to the end of yourself very fast, a lot faster than you think. I ran out of steam very quickly, and once again, tears filled my eyes as I felt defeated. Why was this so hard? Why wasn't I more patient? And why wasn't I able to give myself grace? I didn't think I deserved it. I knew in my head what 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, when Jesus says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." I want to remind you that it does not say that his power is made perfect in our perfection. I thought that I needed to be better, but what I really needed was Jesus, the provider. I was letting my pride get the best of me because I wanted to be the best mom, wife, sister, friend, and I wanted it to look easy. To borrow the words from Lady Gaga, I lived for the applause. And I wanted a life that was marked by my own accomplishments and not by Jesus. In those tender moments in the nursery, Jesus began to remind me of his character once again. He is Jehovah Jireh. He began to strip away my pride, and he began to bring me to the point. He did not bring me to this point to let me feel defeated. He was calling me to a life marked by my absolute need for himself and not myself. If you've been on a set-apart retreat, you know that part of the retreat is naming the lies that we've believed. Jesus began to reveal the lies that I believed about myself, that I would look weak if I had to ask for help, that I wouldn't be the best. I even believed that I was in control, and that is a huge lie. No one sat me down and told me these things, that I had to be the best wife, mother, sister, friend. I had decided on my own, and my unrealistic expectations were self-inflicted. I'm so grateful that I was able to see those lies and that Jesus replaced them with truth. I was not weak, I was not in control, and I didn't have to be the best at anything. I would sing "Great is Thy Faithfulness" to Bobby, and the words would come to life as it became my prayer. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Jesus, please just give me what I need to make it one more night. Remind me of your mercies that are new every single morning. Something they don't tell you about parenthood is that you see every hour of the day. It's truly amazing. So the morning became tender moments as well. I'm learning to trust Jesus, that he has not forgotten me, and that he will provide what I need. I have found myself singing the worship song, "The Lord Will Provide." The chorus says, "Everything I need, my Father has it. Every single time, the Lord will provide." This comes from verses in Matthew 6:25-34, which I'm going to read. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add one moment to your lifespan by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Observe how the wild flowers of the field grow. They do not labor in They do not labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do that much more for you, you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Back to Abraham and Sarah. Our friends here in the New Testament knew about Abraham and Sarah. They knew of Jehovah Jireh, the provider, but they had to be reminded once again. Like them, I was sitting in the nursery thanking Jesus for this miracle of a baby and praising God for how faithful he was while not being able to grasp how faithful he would be. I am learning that surrender does not mean defeat. Surrender means freedom. It means freedom to not be perfect, freedom to not have everything figured out, and to not be in control. I can trust the character of Jesus because he is trustworthy. So now, Ignited class, you are also going to find yourself in a new season of life. I hope that it comes with more sleep. There are lots of similarities between our new seasons. You have never been here before. You may feel like there are expectations on you. You may have put them on yourself. They may be from other people. You may feel the need to control, and you may feel like you have to be perfect. But can I encourage you to surrender those? Maybe you have spent your 4 years achieving great things here at Asbury. I know that you have. I've watched you with my own eyes. But more than your achievements, what I hope that you will take with you from Asbury is your need for Jesus. To know that you can call out to him and he will answer. I hope that you will recognize the lies of the enemy and that they will be replaced with truth. Jesus is never late. He is Jehovah Jireh and he will provide what you need. You can trust him. As I close, I have a couple of questions I want you to think about as you go throughout your day. What will surrender look like for you? What expectations do you have for yourself that you need to give to Jesus? And what is the best life that Jesus has for you? Let me pray. Jesus, thank you so much for the ways that I've seen your faithfulness in my life and the ways that I will continue to see your faithfulness. Jesus, thank you for the ability to just share what a great God that you are and how you have provided. I thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh, that you will give us what we need just for the next day. Thank you, Jesus, for this time, and I pray that you would just continue to help us to live our lives pointing them to you. Amen.